Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app, as well as many streaming services. Today is May 14th, 2025. The markets were mixed today, with Dow closing pretty flat at 42,051, the NASDAQ up at 19,146, and the S&P flat at 5,892. Tonight, what is your story and how does it impact your financial decisions? We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Bob and Cindy are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down. If you have questions outside of, you know, talking on air, you can also just give her the question and they'll bring it into the studio if you're not comfortable talking live on air, or submit it through yourfinancialchoices.com. I have a guest this evening. I'm so excited to welcome Ryan Mulhern back. Ryan and I work together. Ryan graduated from Washington College in Maryland with a major in mathematics and a minor in economics. He joined Valley National in 2017, bringing 4 years of prior industry experience in retirement planning, portfolio administration, investment analysis, and client service. As a CIMA certified investment management analyst, registered RAF investment advisor representative, and a licensed insurance agent in Pennsylvania, he assists clients with comprehensive financial planning, wealth management, insurance planning, and tax optimization. He's also been a member of our Valley National Financial Advisors Investment Committee since 2018, a valued member, by the way. Ryan is a Lehigh Valley native and currently resides in his hometown of Nazareth, where he met his wife, Nicole. He enjoys spending his free time with his wife and two daughters. Welcome back to the show, Ryan.
Thank you for having me, Lori. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Now, Ryan, to set the table and for our listeners to set the table, last week, and again, podcasts are available on WDIY.org under public affairs programming, or you can just, search for it on streaming services, Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert, and listen to the prior shows if you'd like. But last week we talked about the elements of someone's financial life and coordinating all those. But I think it's really important to also talk about how that fits in with one's story. I always say people's, financial life is as unique as their thumbprint. So to summarize the elements of financial planning, cash flow, investments, taxes, retirement planning, risk management, and estate planning. So I thought tonight maybe we could see how that applies to clients and talk through some examples. But I really think you have a great story, Ryan, and I would love to allow you to welcome you to introduce yourself and kind of tell a little bit about your story, if you don't mind.
Sure. So I'm a Lehigh Valley native. I grew up in Nazareth, and you'll probably hear me over and over again talk about sports. That was my life growing up. It was baseball, basketball, soccer, football. You name it, I was on a field running around some grass or on some pavement somewhere, coming home with injuries, going through all that. So I'm one of seven siblings, so I'm number two in the line. So the first four were boys, so my life was a competition with my brothers. And that's kind of created the nature of who I am today and doing what I do. That's heavily ingrained in that. So I graduated from Nazareth High School, went to a college you mentioned earlier, Washington College down in Maryland. It's a Division III school. I had a scholarship through my father's previous work that I had received going there. So I had to walk onto the baseball team. That was, I'd say, my first challenge post-college, or post-high school, sorry. And from there, it just kind of span into, hey, I enjoy the mathematical side of, you know, the world, the problem solving, the analytical side. Algebra was my favorite subject in high school. And so that kind of led me into what I'll get into in a minute here, is my future major in mathematics. Now, that wasn't my first major. My first true love was engineering, or really architectural work, anything revolving around that. And that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to kind of follow in the footsteps of my uncle, who had he was an engineer himself. Now, my school had a five-year program for engineering, whereas the mathematics department was a four-year program. I didn't want to stay for the extra year. I was excited to get into the working world. I'm a very goal-driven person, so I'm always looking ahead, kind of planning. But that was kind of the foundation of what I do today. While I was in college, I did make the baseball team. Clap, clap. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, that was the first step for that. And baseball is really my one true love, despite all the sports I've played over the years and follow to this day. You know, baseball, when you're talking about financial planning, investing for clients, kind of dealing with the problems that we have to solve for them, it's an analytical game. So there's different facets of the baseball field. You have your pitcher, and they're analyzing the batter. Where does he want to see the pitch? Where doesn't he want to see the pitch? Will he chase something out of the strike zone? Is he looking to walk? If you're the hitter, vice versa, what you're doing is saying, where is he about to throw this pitch? Do I need to go a certain direction with it? Am I looking to do something special like a sac fly to score a runner? Should I bunt here to move someone over? There's all different approaches you can take. And then you look at the fielders and where they're positioning themselves. They're analyzing the batter as well, saying, what is he about to do next? Something you and I talked about offline is anticipation. We need to anticipate in anything you do in life, really. But even in, you know, especially in baseball, and, you know, being a sport that I love, you're anticipating what's coming next. So lo and behold, I played 3 years of baseball. My shoulder went bad on me, so I had to go a different direction with that. But I graduated, got my mathematics degree, went into finance. I had a minor in economics, so I had really no knowledge of anything. But I graduated, you know, I had a small internship, you know, right out of college. I used that to kind of leeway into a career in the retirement planning field. So I, you know, jumped through a few companies and then to where I'm at now at Valley National. I've been here for almost 8 years come this summer. And now I'm at the point where I've been working with clients for much of the last 5 years and dealing with these situations that we run into. I'll use situations, quote unquote, because everything's a little bit different. And that's kind of my background. And
that's right. You don't know who's throwing what pitch next. You don't know who's coming up to bat. You got to anticipate. It's a great analogy. I really love it. So you did the internship with a financial services firm then, where you worked on retirement planning? Is that?
So it was a unique firm that dealt solely with a niche client base in the pilot field. So they were pilots. They were traveling. Mm. One of the things I learned there, and I advise clients on this all the time, is you're a pilot. That's what you do. You are not an accountant. You are not a financial planner. You are not a lawyer. So you are not dealing with those specific fields. One of the things I've learned is to give those types of fields, those pieces of work in your life, to someone who is an expert in it.
Mm-hmm.
Being in finance and what we do, it's a broad basket, but you have to, you know, ensure your clients like, hey, I've done this. I've seen the experiences that you're about to deal with here. We are here to help you. And if we cannot help you, I will get you to someone who can, be it an accountant for, you know, a business that you're running, an attorney for a legal item you need to handle, which may be estate related, which we still have some knowledge of, but we defer to the experts in some of those items. So, that's kind of the background to it.
That's a great piece of advice. And it's so funny because I'm actually sensitive to letting the professionals do their jobs as well. So like when we renovated our kitchen, I said to the person who was helping us pick things, I said, just pick whatever you want. You pick it. You're the professional. I don't want to have to deal with it. So this is really fun tonight, Ryan. I appreciate your background, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, and we're going to dig into some of those stories and why that can make such a difference, your story, and what your story is and how it can make a difference in your own personal situation. We are at our first break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
For the past three decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. I have with me this evening Ryan Mulhern, SEMA at Valley National Financial Advisors, so Certified Investment Management Analyst and Financial Advisor at Valley National, a co-worker of mine. So thank you for joining, Ryan. And we're talking about people's stories tonight and how that, you know, can play into decision making. And I think it's great to set the table with starting with your story. And I love the analogy for the baseball playing and the problem solving, because that really is what we do. It's a lot of problem solving. And there's a lot of advantages when you're working with someone who sees these over and over again with the number of clients that we work with. You said you went from the mathematics major, you got an internship at a firm, and I know, you know, you landed at Valley National, but what was that in-between part? Because you still had to kind of feel your way to decide that this was going to be a field for you. And you went for that designation, which I will let our audience know is very complicated. It's a horrible exam, the SEMA exam, I know from experience. So kind of give us a little bit of that transition as well.
Sure. So the first job I had post-internship was in retirement plan administration. So I was dealing with the 401ks and other plans that firms locally had. It was in the Lehigh Valley. It was at a firm in Bethlehem. So I didn't love what I was doing. It was more focused on the plan administration. Do you meet certain guidelines? How many highly compensated employees do you have? A whole different world. But the other side of the business.
And very narrow, too, really.
Very narrow. And there wasn't a lot of money in it.
Not the baseball field. It was just like first base.
Right, exactly. And maybe even just the batter's box. I started there. And the other side of the business that they also had was the investment side, picking the investments for those retirement plans. And the owner of the company said, hey, you know, I need somebody to help me out in this area of the business. Can you jump over here and kind of take some of your time and contribute it to this side? And so that was my first real dive into investments. And I already had a passion for it. You know, I'd done some stock picking for myself and just early on, you know, kind of approaches that I've learned from my father, some of my relatives, some of those who have done it, you know, DIYers, they do it for themselves. So I learned from them that area, and that's where my love was. And so I said, yes, absolutely, I'll be there in a heartbeat. And so I kind of dove into that world, and, you know, I played around with that business for a few years, or about a year and a half, not a few years. And then eventually I found a new job out at a company in New Jersey, and their focus was on personal finance and investing for those individuals. Now, that job was not exactly what I wanted either, which is, you know, trials and tribulations of life. You love something, you don't. What I was doing there was really logging all the data into their systems that is the background of everything we do. Somebody does that for our firm. But I was really dealing with that from day to day. And I said, what's going to take me to the next stage of not only this firm, but my career? Mm-hmm. And so I went after my SEMA. It's a Certified Investment Management Analyst certification. The main reason why I did this was, you know, I like a challenge, A, and B, one of the other employees there who was an advisor, he's a number two at the firm, he had that certification. He said, look, This isn't the CFA, the Certified Financial Analyst. This is a whole different ballgame. So it's what I would call the CFA Lite. It's geared towards personal finance with some other, you know, delving into wider ranges of areas, but it's not as broad-based as a CFA. So I said, let me give it a shot. Well, 8 months later, you know, I went through all the courses. I completed the final exam, and eventually I got my certification. And it's been, you know, it's been very rewarding because I wanted to have some letters behind my name. I wanted some kind of something to set me above my peers in this industry. And if ultimately I wasn't at this point yet an advisor, that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to work with people. I wanted to do the problem solving that I had such a passion for. The SEMA, it's broad-lensed. It's investment-focused. But it's really built around A, being a fiduciary, B, looking at the big picture. You know, how much risk does a client want to take on? And then based upon that risk, how do we want to set their portfolio up? So it's that portfolio construction. And it's really, hey, you know, there's all these different realms of finance that I had no idea of at the time. I didn't know much about small caps and mid caps, international equities, how currencies revolved around all of that. And it taught me how they all play in with one another. And then you're talking about how to build alpha, the different ratios, like the Sharpe ratio, and then kind of the other areas of is how does this all intertwine? And what does this mean for someone? And how to build a portfolio based on that. Mm-hmm. And so I learned a lot of the basics of what I do today and also kind of honed in on, okay, so how can I make this work better for my client situations? And eventually now here I am using this to this day. So
I love it. I love how it's all kind of built up. And quite often as we get mature in our careers, we look back and we see how all those pieces meant something at the time, you know, working for the plan administrator, work doing the background for the data input. It all is building up for this future career that you didn't even know you were going to have yet at that point. But I also love goal-oriented, problem-solving, challenges. That's all exhibited. You know, you've demonstrated that in all of these kind of career choices that you've made along the way. So it kind of started with the investments, and then you've morphed into this investment advisor kind of role, which I'm not morphed into, you are, but it's more than just the investments. So can you kind of give me an idea of what you've learned kind of to go from just doing like what Asima might have done to now being an investment advisor as well?
Absolutely.
Or financial advisor, I should say.
Absolutely. And Valley National is the perfect example of what makes a firm unique in this field. Because there's a million advisors out there that are going, they can build you a portfolio. But financial planning and really setting goals and attaining those goals is so much more than just the investments. It's the taxes, it's the insurance, and one that you are big on is the estate planning. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are we looking to do before your death so that your probate period, you know, post death, and then after your death, where your assets are, how is that going to be situated? Is it going to be easy for your heirs? All those things play into this. I mean, we're looking at education savings for children. I have two children of my own. They have 529 set up. They have UGMA set up. We're building for their future because I want them to, A, have some money when they get out of college, and B, I don't want them to have to pay for college because what a step up that is. I had that myself through the scholarship that I had. Coming out of college with little to no debt is such a huge step up on the world, especially in, you know, looking at the expenses that these young kids are dealing with today. And part of this too is, you know, when you're talking to your kids, it's, hey, do you want to understand what debt is? Because I can show you how you can be dealing with it for 20 years, or we can get you ahead of that sooner, much sooner. So that's one of the areas we focus on. Social Security planning, I know, is a big one. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with, you know, spouses or, you know, deceased spouses and how can I attain some of their benefit. I've dealt with divorced spouses and what they've had to deal with and figuring out, is there something there for me that they had no idea was there? Mm-hmm. And then you go through the exercise and it's, oh, you know, you were married for over 10 years. There is a benefit there for you. Here's how you can, you know, approach that. And there's still your personal benefit that involves around that too. We're constantly analyzing debt. You know, for example, you know, if you're buying a home or buying a car, should I pay for it out of pocket? Should I take money out of my investments? What does this rate look like to you? And then kind of, what are your other options? Do you need to go to your financial credit union? Should you go to your bank? What is the dealer selling you if you're buying a car? There's all the different areas you can approach that. And, you know, I've dealt with things personally. I've dealt with it for clients. I just had that come up. But it's a broader range than that. There's a lot of items that are important to cover.
Well, we're going to go through more of that when we return from this break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking with Ryan Mulhern from Valley National Financial Advisors, and we're talking about what's your story. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. I have in the studio with me this evening Ryan Mulhern, Financial Advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors in Bethlehem. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and Bob will run it in. We're kind of talking about people's stories tonight, Ryan, because I think you've even demonstrated with some of your examples that you just gave, everyone has a story. Everyone has a different situation. And, you know, there's a tendency, I think, for people to think that there's a general answer. And we know from working with clients that each situation can be very, very unique. And, you know, just in listening to you talk about kind of your journey tonight, you went from being a high school student, this story, I love it, high school student to college, making decisions about your major, making financial decisions, because your financial decision was, I don't want to be in college for 5 years if I can do it in four and I can get out sooner. You're very goal oriented. You were kind of pivoting and navigating your options and what you were doing. And then you've said married and now with two children and 529. So you really have had quite the span of kind of financial decisions for yourself. So maybe you could just kind of talk about some of those experiences and how they've impacted the importance of coordinating, you know, the financial planning elements that we were mentioning earlier, the cash flow and taxes and investments and the investments being such a, I know at the crux of it, because that's how we fund our financial goals. But it's more than just that. You said that. Let's talk about, like, why? Why is it more than that? What do you pay attention to? Using your own situation as examples, maybe.
Yeah, so it's the phases of life. You know, you're out of college. You're single. There's decisions to be made. I could move to a city, go get an apartment, and have that on my balance sheet. And that wasn't what I wanted to do. I like being out in an area like the Lehigh Valley. I like the space. I like to have a yard. You know, I had goals where I wanted to be. I wanted to own a home, have a family, et cetera, et cetera. So you're single. You're freshly out of college. You're starting to make some money. You have decisions to make. Do I live at home with my parents? Do I rent an apartment? Either one can work out fine for the right person. It depends on what your plans are and how you're going to approach it. I took the decision to stay at home with my parents, and I actually lived with my relatives for a period of time as well while working, you know, out of state. And those decisions to me were to save up money, to buy a home. And that's why early on, because I was able to save and invest for myself and using some of my passions in investing, I was able to save the money to buy a home at 25 years old.
Wow.
And that home I still own to this day. So that home was where my staying ground for a couple years. And then I rented an apartment, you know, started dating my now wife. You know, we had children along the way. But that, you know, we went to that apartment as a stepping stone to then go buy a second home. So I turned that first property into a rental property, which I still rent to this day. And that was a financial decision in and of itself. I could have sold it and walked away with no taxes, nothing owed on it. But my decision was, hey, let's look long term here. We don't need the money. Let's look futuristic and see what we can make off of this property that we already own. It's appreciated in value. It's, you know, probably doubled in value since I purchased it many moons ago. But then my wife and I, we bought our current townhouse, which we live today with my two beautiful daughters and my two wonderful dogs. But we're getting too big for the townhouse. So we had a decision to make because we've owned this townhouse now for about 8 years, coming up on 8 years. And our decision was, do we sell this and buy a house, or are we able to buy a house outright? And I know last week you talked about the six elements of financial planning. One of them is cash flow. You know, having another rental property, that's more income in our pocket. And we both made a decision to spend the last few years saving up every dollar we can to now we can go and buy a home. And I'm happy to say I got that offer accepted. So it's been a huge weight off our shoulders for a year of really looking hard for homes in the area.
But a year of looking hard, but a few years of saving, knowing you were going to do this.
Correct.
That you were going to keep the current home, condo, or townhouse,
yeah.
As a rental. So this isn't a, this is a very proactive decision. So I love it. I like the story. Keep going. Sorry.
Right. So now we're in that interim phase. It was, coming into this, we're planning our cash flow. What can we afford? We're looking at, if we buy a house without it, we both want a pool. We both love pools.
I got a pool.
So we both wanted a pool. So we're looking at houses without pools. Okay. If we buy a house without a pool, what is it going to cost to put a pool in? We found out what that number was, and that kind of really guided our decision. Hey, maybe we should look for one with a pool, knowing what they cost, because it could be years before we can put one in, looking at our cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we found one with a pool. It worked out great. We haven't closed yet, but we're getting to that point. So we're in that interim phase now, making sure all the money's there, working on closing. And then, because we're not selling the townhouse, we're working to get that ready to rent that out to be another cash flow source once we ultimately get that rented out. So that was kind of the planning of most recent in what I'm dealing with, and I've dealt with a number of those situations with clients. But that's, that's just, it's always looking ahead. What's happening next? And, you want to anticipate what's coming and you want to work towards that. But as I think we mentioned earlier, you don't always have to take action on doing something. But sometimes you do. And part of that plan is, hey, let's not go out to eat tonight. Let's not, let's save a little extra here. Let's not go buy that, $10,000 motorcycle that Dad wants to buy. It's just not going to play into the long-term goals here. What is more of a priority? Is it today or down the road? And I think for both of us, the decision was made, let's focus on getting ourselves in the home we want to be. And if we want to have some of those fun things, which eventually we do, we can get those later in life.
Yeah, but it sounds like if you are so proactive in all these decision making that you've done, you can plan for those things eventually too. It's just you're prioritizing, really. And isn't that what we kind of learn when we're working with clients too? You have to sometimes prioritize. Do you take that really nice trip, or do you, save toward the beach house you said you always wanted, pick. And in fact, I've had people who tell me they want a beach house. And I say, listen, rather than buy the beach house, you could go rent that beach house for a month. And the next year you could go rent a different beach house for a month, So sometimes it's kind of got to put in perspective what your goals, really are. We have a minute before our next break, but I it's so interesting to me. I'm from a big family as well. You've mentioned you're from a large family. You've mentioned relatives. Isn't it wonderful having all of these people around us to either support us, guide us, be examples, and or maybe not examples? That's had a big impact on you, having a big family.
Yes. So I'm one of seven, as I mentioned earlier, and there's a wide range of personalities, of life circumstances and outcomes even too, that you can see in each one of us. We live all over the country. Some are local, some are not. Some have kids, some don't. Some are, my youngest sister is actually finishing up high school now, and she'll be going to Lehigh next year. So it's really, there's a wide range of things you can see, and we all support one another. We are a family. We focus on that. But there's certainly stories you can learn from each of us and situations you can learn from that delve into what we do for a living. Because each of them I've had off the record conversations with saying, here's what I would recommend you do, because they appreciate my advice. Where they may have a plan of their own, but sometimes it's better to get, you know, double check on that, talk to someone who's been through it, who's seen things. And so they lean on me and I lean on them. You know, I'm not a computer science expert. So whenever my internet goes out and I have an issue, I call one of my brothers and say, what is going on here?
That helps. It helps. Folks, we're at our halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we're talking with Ryan Mulhern of Valley National Financial Advisors. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down. 610-758-8810. We're kind of talking about, you know, stories tonight. Your story, why your story is specific to you, like your thumbprint. Each person's financial situation is different. Ryan was mentioning a bunch of examples earlier, people who are going through a death, a divorce, you know, marriage, having children. So many life events that we go through that all have financial implications. While Ryan is a CIMA designation, Certified Investment Management Analyst, his love and passion really seems to have turned into looking at that whole baseball field and looking at the, you know, the anticipation and problem solving that is involved with, you know, one's entire financial life. And it's what makes it fun, I think, for us, Ryan, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's like people like those video games, you know, we like someone's financial problems the same way. So we just talked about, you know, your story and, you know, having a large family, and you get a lot of different perspectives. You mentioned sometimes even when you have situations with clients, it's getting them to the right professional. And we're fortunate enough too that we have a number of professionals that have different areas that we like to concentrate on, even though we have these designations that gives us some broad brush into one's financial life. We still have, you like the investment side, I can go to you for investments. I like the estate side, you could come to me with that. So it's really nice to have that kind of what do you call it? Bench to pick from. Let's go with the baseball analogies. So, you know, how does that help you in working with clients? And then let's maybe talk about some of the stories you might have had with clients as examples. And I know you can't talk about anything specific, but maybe give us some examples of what some stories you've faced with clients that you've helped them navigate.
Sure. It's I can't tell you how helpful it is to have not only experience, but just willing and able colleagues to, you know, especially when I was younger and, you know, hadn't been through all these situations, to guide you through them. Hey, what should I be thinking about? What are some pros of this approach versus the cons of that approach? Or what's another alternative option we can provide to this client to help them get through this situation? And so you can go to other advisors at your firm, or having the ability to go to other advisors at my firm with a business situation that I can't wrap my hands around. I don't know what they need to look for, you know, what they need to watch out for, how they should be planning for continuity, etc. So I have someone like Tom Riddle, who I can go to really lean on for a circumstance like that, especially when I was going through, you know, I was kind of working under your group when I first mm-hmm. joined Valley National, which was a great experience, and that put me in the position that I'm in today. And now I like to pay that forward to some of our mm-hmm. other colleagues that have come through our firm. Just having someone to ask questions to, and, you know, to turn you into the sponge that you want to be, or at least I wanted to be, it's so helpful to have people there to support you and kind of guide you through that. And now here I am in the seat of working with clients for the last number of years. I'm dealing with those situations, and I still find myself coming to you for estate items.
Well, I learned still now too. I'm always learning and going to other people as well.
And I think we have this unquenched thirst for knowledge, and that makes us unique, you know, in our personalities and how we are. not everyone's like that. Some people are, some people aren't. But in this field where laws are changing, the markets are moving. I mean, look at the markets over the last 2 months. We've been up, we've been down, we've been all around. And there's unpredictability there. Having someone to lean on to guide you, that's an office or two over, is just, I can't tell you how helpful it is. And then even sometimes saying, hey, would you be able to join me in this meeting with the client? It's a circumstance where I could probably walk them through it, but having you there, having gone through it, and being able to really articulate how they can approach this, it just makes those outcomes much better, and the clients feel so much more comfortability with that as well.
And it's also fun, and it, getting more exposure to other circumstances and situations. You know, I'm a big sharer in general anyway. Like, I'm not shy. I'm very extroverted, and I like sharing. And one of the reasons I like sharing is because sometimes I feel that if someone else can be further ahead from that experience, then isn't it all good to kind of like put it out there? So let's talk about some stories you had. You mentioned that whether it was the divorce or someone passing away, the Social Security, boy, that is a topic we're always dealing with. So do you have some general, I know you're not going to talk about specifics, but some general stories that we could kind of give as examples of why it's so important for individuals to understand their circumstances may not be exactly like their neighbors, and why you kind of have to dig in deep to get the best outcome is what I, or the, you know, the ultimate outcome.
Yeah, I had a somewhat recent client situation. He's younger. You know, he had inherited money from his grandparents, so he had money to his name. But he wasn't really working at this point. He was kind of going through some life struggles. They had some trauma they went through earlier on, and it kind of created some issues in their situation. And they ended up having to go to a rehabilitation clinic. It actually ended up being multiple because there was different levels to it. But he came to me and he expressly said, hey, you know, I know I have money in my family and they want to help me out, but I don't want that. I want to take care of this myself. And there's certain areas of confidentiality that I can't cross. I can't just go then take that conversation and talk to the parent or to whoever about that. So we had to go through with what he wanted to do. There was nothing I could do to really make an adjustment there. But ultimately, the parents had then reached out. And I said, listen, you know, if you guys want to help out your son and get them through this, let's all get on the same page. Let's get together and talk as a group. Ultimately, you know, through some collaboration with all parties, we were able to maneuver it so that although the son had taken some money out and paid for his rehabilitation services, we were able to maneuver it so the parents could use some of their funding to help the son. And because the son didn't have income at the time, there were no tax benefits to him paying for this, whereas the parents had a much larger income. Mm-hmm. And they were able to then help their son out and save themselves money on taxes to the tune of almost $20,000. Mm-hmm. And when they found that out, what had really benefited there, the son ended up with the money back in their account because the services that they had used were willing to pay the money back as long as they received payment from another party. Mm-hmm. And they were able to claw that money back, get the tax benefits of this. And at the end of all this, they said, listen, this was never about the money. To us, it matters, and that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, how much can I save you? Mm-hmm. It was never about the money. It's that when we went through a struggle, we knew we could call you and find a way to coordinate this together to work to our advantage to some extent. Mm-hmm. And you know, at the end of the day, the money is it's important, but it's not as important as our son's health and getting mm-hmm. him through this. And in all of this, you were there for him and you were there for us when we called you and said, is there a way we can make this work? And just coordinating it as a group. And I had to bounce ideas off of some of our tax department and work mm-hmm. with them on this. And we found a way to make it work. And mm-hmm. they couldn't be more thankful for the outcome mm-hmm. of their son, who is now doing well. I'm happy to report. Mm-hmm. And everything's kind of come through to the benefit of everyone based mm-hmm. on the outcome.
It's funny, Ryan, hearing stories like that. I mean, it makes me, I'm an emotional person anyway, but it makes me emotional because that also drives us, doesn't it? You mm-hmm. know, when we talk about, back to the baseball analogy, you know, and looking at the perspective from the batter, looking at the perspective from the hitter, looking at the perspective of the outfield and the whole field, and you're watching all of these pieces. Let's not forget about the emotions of the game, right? Mm-hmm. So we're driven. We love the excitement. Bob, you know, in the other room told us about his grandson earlier today, and we were all so excited. The grandson had all these double hits and triple hits and home runs and a lot of emotion that goes with that. And when we can help clients find solutions and it hits them personally, that hits us personally too, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, it makes a big difference for us. We feel like it's a win, you know. What other kind of stories? Like, I know I've had cases, you know, where we have divorce and there's quadros, qualified domestic relation orders. And, you know, often financial advisors don't know about the details of those. Usually the person going through it has never had to go through it before because, you know, it's not that someone's getting divorced every day. But we have had clients where we've seen it a number of times, even though we've not been divorced, we've had clients who've been, so it's not our first rodeo, so to speak. And trying to, you know, people will hire attorneys and the attorneys will help them with the divorce and the attorneys will help maybe set up a quadro, but they might not necessarily talk about what are the implications of that quadro. What do we have to pay attention to for cash flow? So now you could have, just like with death, you mentioned Social Security, there could be Social Security benefits in a divorce, but there could also be these quadro benefits, quadro pertaining to a 401k or a pension, where a divorced spouse could get part of one's retirement account or pension. And there's rules around that. There's exceptions to the 10% early withdrawal penalty if you're under age 59 and a half. If you get divorced and you were the one who was never working and you're going to need some of that money, if you go to one financial advisor and they tell you to roll it over to an IRA, well, now you might have a 10% penalty. So there are certain things to navigate. So do you have any experiences where you've helped with Social Security or something in that kind of circumstance?
I've had that exact scenario with a quadro where she did need some of the cash flow, and you're not able to access that if you roll it to an IRA. From an investment perspective, it would have made sense, you know, looking apples to apples, to move it from the 401k to the IRA, but this individual needed that income. So instead of rolling it to that IRA, you keep it in the quadro account, and they're able to access that penalty free, which is an advantage to that individual. Social Security-wise, most of my situations there are really balancing, okay, here's what my husband's benefit is, here's what my benefit is, when should he claim and when should I claim? And you have to run projections because there's a cumulative benefit of just the Social Security benefit, but really what you want to look at is the net worth. Because over time, taking one approach, yeah, you might make more in Social Security income, but your net worth gets hurt more from that approach. So we need to look another avenue and see what your different options are. And then it's coordinating, okay, do we want the higher income to delay so that the lower income can claim earlier, get some income early on, if you want to retire before 67, do something earlier, that gives you some cash flow there. And then that higher benefit grows and grows so that, A, if the earlier benefit passes, if the larger benefit passes, the one who took the benefit earlier, they're going to receive that higher income amount. Mm-hmm. Also, then you're planning, okay, we're going to have a higher benefit so that I'm going to be able to receive more money if, you know, assuming we end up living to 85, 90, mm-hmm. 110, if you're real lucky, which I always tell my clients, I hope you live to be 120. and that's what we're here to plan for. So if you wonder why we're restrictive on cash flow and things, to an extent, we're planning for that unforeseen scenario, which, just not to reference back to a baseball field, but you may not see the ball bouncing off of second base on a ground ball and go into the outfield. Well, what do you do then if you're a runner? Are you going to stop at third, or are you going to go home and score the run? And that depends. Did it bounce far enough or did it not? And so you're always constantly analyzing.
It's a nuance. There's nuances to each of these decisions.
Every situation is different. Yeah, yeah. And we don't look at it as black and white. Mm-hmm. Everything's gray. And we really go down all of the checks and balances to make sure that all areas of your financial picture are going to be covered. And, it may not be black and white what your answer should be or what you should do, but we're going to give you your options, and then you can at least weigh them and say, you know, we understand the options here. We want to go with option B instead of option A. And that's our job, is to provide you with those options. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can advise you on what makes more sense, but the ultimate decision is up to the client themselves.
Very good. We're at our last break, and when we come back, Ryan, maybe we could kind of tap into your investment experience and get your comments on where we are in these markets and how that might apply to some of our decision-making as part of our story as well. If you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. I have in the studio with me this evening Ryan Mulhern, registered investment advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors and a certified investment management analyst. And we're talking about stories tonight. What is your story and how does it impact your financial decisions? I'm going to give you a quick example to Ryan when how we just ended about the nuances. Not everything's black and white. It's a little bit of gray and how we dig in. And I know that we often ask questions. I always tell people I'm not snoopy. I'm curious because it helps us inform the picture, kind of like the playbook they might have in baseball. You kind of have to have this picture a little bit. So I'll say to someone, you know, what's the life expectancy in the family? And they'll say, oh, well, you know, they're spending their money because mom died at 62, dad died at 63. And, you know we're not going to live long. And I say, well, were mom and dad smokers? Oh, yeah, yeah. Were mom and dad drinkers? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you a smoker? No. Are you a drinker? No. Well, chances are you're probably going to live a little bit longer than 62 and 63. So we do have to plan. And it's funny that you said we have to plan for the long term because sometimes, too, when you said planning someone to live to 120, fewer people have long-term care these days, long-term care policies. They were too expensive or they, you know, were rolled up and, you know, sold off. And so I will often tell clients, we still have to maybe keep a little set aside, you know, subconsciously in case you need some long-term care. So don't spend all your money in case you need to go somewhere. But let's go back to the investments for the rest of the show, if we can, because that was your original passion, and you are on the investment committee at the office, so you see a lot, you talk a lot about this, you've been watching the ups and downs. You know, I say to people, give it 2 days, it might go up, it might go down. I love walking by the TVs in the office saying, oh my gosh, breaking news, because it's breaking news every single time, you know, every minute of the day. So how do you kind of talk about, you know, what's going on with the markets and the recent volatility? And how do you talk clients through some of this? And
sure. So this is a testament to having an iron stomach in dealing with this volatility. And as I said earlier, you need to anticipate, but you don't always need to take action. This was a good example of that. You know, leading up to this, we take a diversified approach. You're going to hold bonds, you're going to hold alternative investments, and you're going to hold those more risky equities. And while those are going up and down, and we've seen that in the last, you know, 2-3 months, that roller coaster effect of it was up, it was way down, and then here we are moving back up in that direction, you need to take a step back, zoom the lens out, look at the big picture. You know, we took a step back for about a year at one point in terms of where the markets were. What does that mean to you? Are you drawing money right now? Did we set aside money for those withdrawals, if you are? Is this something that we need to really look at, okay, is this going to be a problem for us in any way? Are we going to have to tap these equities that are now off their highs? Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But typically, we're building a portfolio for a multitude of outcomes. That outcome could be a momentous rip upwards where the market's just basically in a straight line like 2023 and 2024. Mm-hmm. There was no real 5% pullback throughout those years. Now we're in a situation where we went into correction. The NASDAQ went into a bear market, over 20% down. How are you going to deal with this? And what we were doing, or what I've been expressing to clients, and what we did as a firm, is we said, let's look at the data. What is the data saying? The jobs market has remained pretty strong. Unemployment is still at a pretty low historical level. Nothing's materially shifted that has hurt the economy just yet. Do we need to react at this time? Should we be moving to, you know, risk-off investments? Should we be adjusting? And we made the decision that generally we're well-positioned for this. This is why we diversify. This put us in this position to weather this. And so we have enough money to get through the next 5 years of cash flow needs. We have enough, you know, in protective investments if we need to do something. Or if you, let's say you want to go through with putting that pool in that I was talking about earlier, you have money set aside for that. Do we need to react to this? And like you say, you want to be proactive, not reactive. And this is very difficult to do that in this environment because, you know, with this administration, it's not 100% clear what's going to happen tomorrow. And like you said, maybe wait a day before making a decision on a big change. If you want to shift from one investment to another, that's okay. That can make sense if the environment's, you know, presenting that for you, but it may not, you know. So you have to just kind of read what's going on, be careful to take your decisions based upon what you see on the news, because everything is either doom and gloom or it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, as they would say. You just don't know what it's going to be. And you have to follow the data and let that guide your kind of fundamental background to how you approach things. And then from there, you look for your opportunities and you adjust accordingly if you feel that that makes sense. And each scenario is going to be different. The next time we have a pullback, we may want to change some things around. In this particular case, we didn't see a general reason to really rock the boat here. So we didn't.
Because you're still watching the data, always watching the data. So if you see some shift in a certain bit of data, you might make a change. You mentioned diversification. Let's talk about the importance of diversification in portfolio construction. Why is it important to have diversification?
It's important because, and this is what I mentioned earlier, you're planning for a multitude of potential outcomes. One outcome could be the S&P 500, the U.S. does exceptionally well. That category is going to fly higher. What have we seen this year thus far? International equities are outperforming U.S. equities. Now, it's balanced out a little bit more recently, but they've outperformed. And so having a diversified portfolio that maybe you do have more U.S. than you have international equities, that's going to protect you a little bit on the equity side. Why do we hold bonds? Bonds weren't a great holding in 2022. They were down 13% broadly. But that doesn't mean that today it's a bad thing to hold bonds, because when the market was down 20%, your bonds were up 2 or 3%, depending on what you were holding. And there's other areas of what you can expose yourself to as well. There's private investments. There's different strategies and how they approach them. So growth stocks, which are more names that are trying to grow their revenues into the future, they may perform better in a certain environment. Value stocks may perform better in a certain environment. And those are companies that pay out dividends. They have pretty strong, you know, balance sheets and revenues, and they know what's coming pretty predictably. They may hold up better in a certain environment. It depends on the scenario, but what you need to plan for is to have a little bit of each of these. And exactly how much, that's what you have a financial advisor for. That's why you advise yourself and look at, you know, a fund and how they're approaching it. But that's why we diversify, is because when the market pulls back 20%, you may only see 10% of that, or 8% of that. And that's because we diversified. And that makes getting back to even and then getting to a new high that much easier. And that's why you want to diversify, especially when you get later on in your career or in your, you know, you get into retirement. You don't want to have these big fluctuations in your portfolio value, because that can drastically affect what your outcome is if you're drawing from that portfolio.
Because you could be drawing on dips. So it's always kind of also planning for that, having some cash reserves. So what do you talk to clients about for, like, their emergency reserves or their five-year bucket?
Exactly right. So depending on the circumstances, it can vary depending on the client's comfortability, how much risk they want to take on. But I'm looking to hold at least 5 years of upcoming withdrawals. I want to make sure, at a minimum, that's what we have in your portfolio. Sometimes that can go up to 7 years, 10 years. You know, some clients don't want to take on excess risk, despite your recommendations to take on a little more risk. They just don't want to. And you have to work with them. It's not all about just what you feel they should be doing. It's kind of that collaboration with them. But you want to make sure, you know, within 5 years, if the market does dip, we go into a bad recession like the Great Financial Crisis, mm-hmm. we're not going to have to worry about what the equities did because we have all these other areas that are liquid and accessible that aren't going to be down and might even be up in this environment that we can tap in the interim.
Mm-hmm. And if you, for a minute, could talk about asset geography, about what if someone has a diversified, I mean, we talk about diversification, but people could also have diversified kind of assets, meaning they could have retirement accounts and individual accounts. And retirement accounts have different kinds of tax consequences, ordinary income on withdrawals typically, unless it's a Roth IRA. And a Roth IRA is tax-free. So what kind of investments might I want in a Roth versus an IRA versus an individual account, which could have qualified dividends and capital gains? When you're looking at the diversification and asset allocation in one's portfolio, you're not doing it like account, account, account. You're kind of looking at the overall picture.
Correct. And that's because of how we're structured as a firm. We're so heavily involved in our clients' tax situations. So if I'm looking at a non-qualified account, I may want to put in more tax-favorable investments in there, exchange-traded funds or ETFs, stocks, dividend-paying options, maybe not a fixed-income ETF. Maybe there will be a small chunk in there. And depending on the individual's income, will that be a municipal ETF so that you're not getting taxed on that dividend income? And then if you look at the qualified side, we have IRAs, Roth IRAs, and you can look at 401ks as well. But those IRAs, that's where you're going to want to put more of your fixed income because those fixed income, and even if it's an ETF, a mutual fund, whatever it is, those dividends are at your ordinary income tax rate, whereas those capital gains distributions, those dividends from the stocks, those are going to be at your long-term capital gains rate, which depending on your income, you may have a 0% long-term mm-hmm. capital gains rate. Mm-hmm. You also may have a 20%+ depending on net investment income tax in other areas as well. And then you can look at a Roth IRA. That's more your long-term account. Or if you're in a tax situation where, hey, if I take $5,000 extra for my IRA, we're bumping up to the next Medicare bracket, and I'm paying $2,500 more each of us, next year or 2 years from now when we have to get that adjustment. There's different things we need to look at and where we're pulling funds from. It's not just the investments thereof. So there's a lot that goes into this. It's more of an art than a science, but there is a science to it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. We have just a couple minutes left. And if you could maybe just touch for a moment on, how AI fits into all of this when people are, thinking they can put, diversify my portfolio in ChatGPT. I mean, and we all love ChatGPT, but what do you think about that? And you got a minute.
So artificial intelligence, if you haven't heard of it, it's becoming part of everyday life. I use it every single day. There is no avoiding it. My wife uses it every single day. Is it perfect? No, because the outcomes you're going to see, I call it a guideline or an outline of how you should approach it. If you put a question in and it gives you a response, that's a guideline of how to approach it. If there's very technical things in there and certain numbers, it can produce the wrong number or the wrong information. So you need to be careful to use it as what I would say a gospel. This is not your end all be all just yet at this point in time. One day, maybe it will be. But if you are not utilizing artificial intelligence, to an extent, you're going to get left behind because there's so much capability there. It's being utilized by businesses, by individuals, in every field you can imagine. In healthcare, it's revolutionizing healthcare to this day and the outcomes there. If you don't get on board with it, you could get left behind, but be careful.
Yeah.
Because there's some pros and some cons to it. And I say that on a broad lens, the entire artificial intelligence concept, there are risks there if it's not honed in to an extent. But
right.
It's not something we're overly concerned with today.
And we want to remember, going back to the thumbprint of someone's their financial story, that AI doesn't know their thumbprint. Ryan, thanks so much for being here. If people wanted to reach you, what's your phone number?
My direct number is 610-947-0560. If you wanted to get in contact with me through Valley National, our website is valleynationalgroup.com. You can also find my email on there. And please reach out if there's anything I can help you out with. I'd be happy to.
Thank you for joining us, Ryan. I really appreciate it. Great storytelling. Thank you, Bob and Cindy, for being here. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, James. Next week, I'm going to talk about goal setting. So it's part of our story timeline here. We talked about the elements of financial planning. We talked about the stories, and we're going to talk about goal setting next week. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.